السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. رب زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين، اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we're going to do ayat 55 to 61 of Surah Al-Ma'idah today. We'll start off with the word meanings. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Ayah number 55. إنما only, or indeed, not but. وليكم. ولي means a guardian, a close friend, a protector. كم, yours. الله is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. و and رسوله. Rasul, messenger, who, his. Wa, and alladhina, those who, amanu, they believed. This word comes from iman, and this is a verb in this form, and it ends in waw alif, so we know this is plural. So, walladhina amanu, and those who believed. Alladhina, those who, يُقِيمُونَ, they perfectly establish. Yeah, in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person, and una ending makes this word plural. So it means they, and iqama means to establish. So وَيُقِيمُونَ, يُقِيمُونَ, they perfectly establish. الصَّلَاةَ, the prayer. Wa and يُؤْتُونَ. يُؤْتُ means they give. And the noon in the end means this word is plural. The ya in the beginning tells us it's in the third person. So, yu'tuna, they give, az-zakata, the obligatory charity. Okay, the zakat. Wa, while, hum, they, raki'un, are ones who bow down. This comes from the word ruku, which means to bow down before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And una ending makes this word plural. So raki'un, ones who bow down. Wa and man, whoever. Yatawalla, he befriends. Now the root word here is wali again, which means a close protecting friend. And ya in the beginning means he. So yatawalla, he befriends, or he makes guardian or protector. Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa and rasulahu, rasul, messenger, who, his. Walladhina, wa and alladhina, those who, amanu, they believed. Fa inna, fa is the prefix here and it means then. Inna, indeed. Hizba, party. Allahi, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hum, they, al-ghalibun, are those who are victorious. Ghalib means the one who overpowers. And una ending just makes this word plural. So humul ghalibun, only they are those who overpower or are victorious. Ya ayyuha, oh, alladhina, those who, amanu, they believed. La, do not. Tattakhidhu, khudh is the root word and that means to take. Da in the beginning means you, and waw alif in the end makes this word plural. This is a command. So la, do not. Tattakhidhu, you all make or take. Alladhina, those who. Ittakhadhu, they took or made. Now this is plural. This is third in the third person and it's in the past. Okay, so alladhina, those who, ittakhadhu, they took. Deenakum, deen, means religion or way of life. Gom, yours. Huzuwan, a mockery. Wa and Laiban, a play. Min, from Aladina, those who. Utu, they were given. Al-Kitaba, the book. Min, from Qabili, before. Gom, all of you. Wa and Al-Kuffar, Al means the, and Kuffar means the ones who do kufr, the ones who deny the truth, the ones who disbelieve. Awliya'a, as guardians, or close protecting friends. This word is plural for the word wali that we just learned. So awliya means guardians or close protecting friends. Wattaku. Now this is a command. The wa means and ittaku means have taqwa, which means to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in if kuntum, kun are tum, all of you, mu'minin, believers, ones who believe. Mu'min means somebody who believes, and ina ending just makes this word plural. Wa and ida, when, nadaytum. This comes from the word nida, which means to call out. So naday, were called, tum, all of you, ila, to, or towards, as-salati, the prayer. Ittakhadhuha. Ittakhadhu, they took, or they made, ha, it, huzuwan, a joke, wa, and la'iba, a play. Thalika, that, bi annahum, be, because, anna, indeed, hum, they, qawmun, a people, la, na, yaqilun, they understand. This comes from the word aql, ayn, qaf, lam, which means intellect. Ya, in the beginning, tells us this word is in the third person, and una ending makes this word plural. So yaqilun, they use their intellect, or they understand. Qo, say, this is a command. Ya, O, ahla, people, al-kitabi, of the book. Hal, do. Tanqimuna, you all take revenge. Minna, min, from, na, us. Illa, except. An, that. Amanna, aman means believed. Nun alif in the end is a pronoun that means we. So amanna, we believed. Billahi, be in Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa, and ma, whatever. Unzila, was sent down. Ilayna, ilay, to, na, us. Wa, and ma, whatever. Unzila, was sent down or revealed. Min qabl, min, from, qabl, before. Wa, and anna, indeed. Akthar, most. Kum, of you. So aktharukum, most of you. Most of you all, fasiqun, are ones who defiantly disobey. This word comes from fisq, which means to sin, to cross the limits. And fasiq is somebody who crosses the limits. And una ending just makes this word plural. So fasiqun means are ones who disobey and cross the limits. Qul, say. Again, this is a command. Hal, do, or should. Unabbi'ukum, naba is the root word here, and that means to give important news. U in the beginning means I, so unabbi'u, I inform. Kum, all of you. Bi, with. Sharrin, worse. Min, than. Thalika, that. Mathubatan, as recompense, ainda, near, or with, Allahi, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man, whoever, la'ana, he cursed, who, him, Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the word Allah ends with a dhamma, It says Allahu. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one doing whatever is mentioned. So La'anahu Allahu means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed who? Him, meaning that person. Wa and Ghodiba, he was angry, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was angry. Alayhi, upon he, him. And the him refers to the person again. Wa and Ja'ala, he made, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made or transformed min from whom them, meaning some of them, al the qiradata, qirada monkeys, wa and al the khanazir swines, wa and abada he worshipped, meaning that person worshipped. At-Tawgut, the rebellious forces, the forces of Shaitan, okay, the false deities. Ula'ika, those, Sharun, are worse, Makanan, in rank. Wa and Adullu, most astray. This comes from the word Dalal, which we've covered before, and Dalal means straying. Now, adding an Alif to the beginning just adds more emphasis on whatever is being said. So adallu, most astray, on from sabai, straight or level, sabil, and al in the beginning means the, so as sabil, the path or the way. Wa and if, ida, when, ja'ukum, ja'u, they come, kum, to all of you, qalu, they said, amanna. Aman means believed, and nun alif in the end means we. So, amanna, we believed. Wa and qada, in fact, dakhalu, they entered. The waw alif in the end here of this verb tells us this is plural. So, just as in the word ja'u, they came, come to you, qalu, they said, this ends in waw alif too, so it's plural. Amanna, we believed, waqad, and in fact, dakhalu, they entered, be with al the kufr, disbelief, wa and hum, they, qad, in fact, kharaju, they went out. And this word ends in waw alif too, so this verb is also plural. So kharaju, they departed, be with he, it. Wa and Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a'lamu, is most knowing. This is one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes. So this comes from the word ilm, which means to know or have knowledge. And adding an alif before this word just adds more depth to it. So a'lamu, the most knowing. Be with or of ma, whatever, kanu, they were, yaktumun, they conceal. Katama is the root word, and that means to hide. Ya in the beginning means this word is in the third person, and una ending tells us that this word is plural. So it means they hide or they conceal. Alhamdulillah. Now we're going to start with the tafsir of these ayat, inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We learned last time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs the believers not to be best friends with people who disbelieve. And we went over the reasons for that too, and how that can negatively impact us. Now he tells us who we should take as our close friends, our protectors. Innama waliyukumullahu wa rasuluhu walladhina amanu alladhina yuqimuna as-salata wa yu'tuna az-zakata wa hum raki'un. Indeed, your real protecting friends are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his rasuls, and the fellow believers who establish prayer, pay zakat, and bow down humbly before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only they are your real friends. So even out of all the believers, only the ones who do the things listed in this ayah are the true friends and protectors of the believers. That means that not all believers can be your best friends. Only the believers who establish prayer, give the obligatory charity, and bow down before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be chosen as best friends by the believers. At the Battle of Uhud, Abu Sufyan had called out to the Muslims that they, meaning the polytheists, had Uzza, their idol, as their helper. And he said that the Muslims did not have an Uzza. So he meant that the Muslims don't have a helper. In response, Umar radiallahu anhu had called out, Allahu maulana wala maulalakum. Allah is our maula. He is our protector, our close protecting friend, our guardian. And you don't have a maula. You don't have a friend, a protector. So the maula of all the believers is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And he is enough as a wali or a maula. He is enough as a protector and a close friend. And his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the true believers are also the walis of those who believe. So out of all the believers who are real friends to the true believers are the ones who do the following things, the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here. So they don't just claim to be Muslim, but they make sure to establish prayer, pay the zakat, and bow down humbly before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the first thing mentioned on the list is that they establish prayer. There are three things they do in order to establish prayer. The first is that they pray on time. They don't wait till the end to pray. And they don't delay it and do it late when it's not easy for them to pray at the right time. Because salah is something that must be done on time. And that is a part of establishing prayer. Secondly, they pray all the prayers every single day. They don't just do what they feel like doing, such as praying 5 times a day one day and only doing a few prayers the next. And they don't miss prayers just because they're busy. They pray all 5 prayers on a daily basis. That's the second way they establish prayer. And the third way they establish salah is that they pray according to the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That must be done if we want to establish salah. We shouldn't just pray, we have to establish prayer. And these are the three things that are done when we want to establish prayer. وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ, and they pay the zakat. This is another quality of the believers who are our protecting or close friends. They pay the zakat. This is one of the pillars of Islam. So it's really important. And the third thing, وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ, and they bow down before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, we might think that if they establish prayer, which was the first thing mentioned, of course they bow down before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in salah, right? So why is it mentioned separately? Because ruku here does not apply to the ruku they do during salah only. It means that they bow down before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in life, out of humility, because they're humble. They're not arrogant. They bow before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to humility. This is how the real friends of the believers are. A lot of people think that they may benefit from being close friends with people who are really arrogant, people who are so proud and assume greatness, that they would be honored or respected somehow too. They think that they would be considered great if they're around such people, but that's not true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the true believers are friends with people who are humble, people who humbly bow down before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Arrogance is a sign of people who will end up in Jahannam, in the hellfire. So people who are arrogant, people who are stubborn because of their pride, and people who transgress the limits set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will end up in the hellfire. Anyone who has the weight of a mustard seed of pride shall not enter paradise. That is what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us. And a person who rejects the truth and looks down on people is arrogant. So they cannot enter paradise. So the real friends of the true believers are those who bow down before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in humility. And they are humble towards other people too. They're kind and they're soft-spoken with others. They don't assume greatness and walk on the earth proudly. وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّ اللَّهَ, and whoever befriends Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This means that whoever makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his protector, his guardian, and he enjoys spending time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَرَسُولَهُ, and his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, and those who believe, the fellow believers, then they are considered Hizbullah, the party of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This isn't actually what it says here, exactly, okay, in these exact words, but this is what this really means here. فَأُولَٰئِكَ Hizbullah. Then they are the party of Allah. Because next it says, فَإِنَّ حِزْبَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ. Then indeed Allah's party will surely be victorious. So the party of Allah is made up of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the believers. So if anyone is afraid that the enemies of Islam may be victorious over the Muslims, and they may have to face difficulties because of their iman, they should know that only the party of Allah will be victorious at the end. It's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the true believers who will overpower the enemy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, anyone who takes them as their protectors, as their best friends, their helpers, to fall back on when they need support, then only they, the party of Allah, will be victorious. This means that they are the party of Allah. They're the group of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. And there is one group called Hizbullah, and it's an honor to be a part of the party of Allah, to be called the party of Allah. And the other group is Hizbush Shaytan, the party of Shaytan. Astaghfirullah. And we're going to learn about them later on, inshallah. Now, again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O believers, la tattakhidhu, do not make what? He tells us that in the end, for now, we should put parentheses around the part that says, alladhina. It starts off with allazina all the way to min qablikum wal kufar. Put parentheses around that part. So the word awliya comes after that part that ends in min qablikum wal kufar. So think of it this way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, la tattakhidhu awliya. O believers, do not take as close protecting friends. Who shouldn't the believers take as their close protecting friends? Now the whole part that we put in parentheses is the answer to that. So he says not to take as close protecting friends الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا دِينَكُمْ هُزُوًا وَلَعِبًا, those who took your deen, meaning your religion, as a mockery and a play or a game. Who are the people who made Islam a joke. The ones who take Islam as a joke and make fun of Islam. من الذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبلكم. From those who were given the book before you. The أهل كتاب. The people of the book. والكفار. And the disbelievers. And what does this mean? That they take your deen as a mockery or a game. It means that they are non-serious about it. They laugh at it and they don't think much of it. They laugh at it because they consider it inferior. And what are some ways that people do that? They laugh at the shayar Allah, the signs of Allah that remind us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They laugh at those shayar. They laugh at what we learn about Jannah and Jahannam. They tell jokes about those things. They say things about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the pious people to be able to make fun of them. They mock them. Sadly, even Muslims do these things today. They use terms, titles that people from other religions used in the past for Muslims to make fun of them. And they do this whenever they mention someone who tries their best to stay on the right path. They call them by those names. And that's why we have been warned not to be best friends with them. The people who do these things. Because people are influenced by those they are around. Especially when people are impressed by others. They tend to start copying them, following their ways. When they love someone, they start to view things in a similar way that they do. So their perspective becomes similar to theirs. And as Muslims, how can we take as close friends people who make fun of the shayar of Allah? They make fun of the way religious people dress, the things they do, their appearance, and they laugh at things from the Quran and the Sunnah. And how can a true Muslim be friends with such people? Because they won't let you practice properly. Because they actually laugh at these things. And as for the people of the book, most of them don't even take their own religion seriously anymore. They laugh at their own prophet. So how would they let you respect yours? And if you talk to the Ahle Kitab about God, the people of the book, you'll notice that they talk about him as they normally do about other things and about other people. They don't speak about him as Muslims do when they talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Because Muslims know how great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. So they're very respectful when they address Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they mention him. But the Ahle Kitab don't take their deen seriously. And we already learned about what they did with their holy books. They changed the books according to their own desires. They are not believers. So if a Muslim were to take them as their best friends, that person does not value Islam as much anymore either. Because that person starts thinking like them. And that person is influenced by them. And that's why many Muslims today start laughing or telling jokes about Islam. They were gradually influenced by others that they were impressed by. Okay, it happened over time. People they befriended who were not believers influenced them. They adopted their ways. And this happens over time. Okay, it's not a sudden change when people start acting this way. It takes time. But a person's whole way of thinking changes in the end. When people speak negatively about things that are connected to Islam, over time, Muslims who spend time in their company are influenced by them. Then those Muslims don't want to do those things that others laugh at, so they don't judge them. They're worried that others would look down on them for doing things that are connected to Islam. Things that are related to Islam. Many times, things are so commonly repeated in society that constantly hearing those things changes the mindset. Even if Muslims with a weak iman, they start thinking differently. Slogans are used to change people's perception too. But these are all mind games. And when people mock the shire of Allah, the shire of deen, the signs of deen, it's as a result of them hearing others around them say those things constantly. So after some time, they don't think it's a big deal to say such things. It becomes easy for them to speak that way. Astaghfirullah. So we should think about how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his noble Sahaba would be if they were to appear today. How would they look? How would they be? Why is it that people laugh at those who follow the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba? Why do they think that they're so strange or funny, people who follow their Sunnah? As Muslims, we should not laugh if anyone makes fun of such a person, because they're following the Sunnah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. So it's not something to laugh at. If they look like or dress like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the Sahaba would have, they should be respected. Okay, we should honor them. We shouldn't laugh at them or join others when they laugh at them. These are the shire or the signs of our religion. Imagine if someone laughed at another person's mother. Would the other person just sit there and laugh along with them? No, they would tell the other person to stop. They would be offended. They'd be annoyed. So why is it that some Muslims are not offended when others make fun of the shire of deen, the signs of Allah? Or they actually dare to make fun of the signs of Islam themselves, even though they're Muslims? Why are they not offended? They do these things because they don't value Islam, and they think like the disbelievers do. So the same rule about close friendships applies to them too, even if they're Muslim. If they mock the religion, we should not be close to them. So Muslims cannot take them as best friends if they make fun of Islam or its signs and things that represent Islam. They cannot be considered their real friends either, because a Muslim is offended if anyone says anything negative about their faith. Some people think that they shouldn't state the truth because others may start thinking of them as their enemy, or that they may try harming them in some way. But as for a true believer, they're not afraid of what anyone has to say about them. They are not afraid of what other people think. So for a true Muslim, it's important to value Islam, to be sensitive about it, and to be offended if someone says something negative about it. We should be upset. Think of it this way. If someone says something bad about you, or your children, your family, or your home, you don't like it, right? And people actually start arguing for these reasons, because they can't tolerate it when someone says something bad about them or their family. They get defensive. That's how we should be about deen too, because this is our deen. How can we sit back and take it easy if someone says that the way my beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dressed was bad, or they laugh at people who look like he did appearance wise? How is that possible for a believer to just relax and listen to those things? If this happens, it means that we're not true to our deen. We're not faithful to Islam as we should be. Okay? If we are able to tolerate whatever negative things other people say about Islam, we are not faithful to Islam. If others take our deen as a joke and they laugh at it, we can't be okay being best friends with them. Because how can we love them when they laugh at our religion or criticize our religion? When it should be our whole way of life. That's what religion is for us. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ And fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you are true believers. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ Here means that if you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all, then be afraid of Him. Adopt taqwa. Be conscious of Him. And don't take the people described above as your best friends. وَإِذَا نَادَيْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ And when you call for salah, meaning prayers, اتَّخَذُوهَا هُزُوًا وَلَعِبًا They make it as an object of mockery and pastime. They make fun of it. There was a man in Medina who used to make fun of the adhan every time it was called out, and he used to laugh at it. When he heard the muadhin say, أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدٌ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a messenger of Allah. He used to say, let the liar burn. And as a result of him saying that, he had to suffer. Because once his servant brought and lit a fire at home at night, something flew in and caused that fire to spread. And it burned everything down. So his house and all his belongings were burnt. But there are actually people out there who don't want to hear the adhan. They hold a grudge against the adhan, even though it's shaitan who doesn't want to hear the adhan. And according to hadith, we learned that shaitan runs so far away from a place where the adhan is being called, just so he can't hear it. And he comes back when the adhan is over. Nowadays, even some Muslims who live in Muslim countries don't like it when the adhan is called. They try to avoid buying a house too close to the masjid or in an area where they would hear the adhan every time it's called, astaghfirullah, because they think it disturbs them. But can there be anything more beautiful than the sound of the adhan? Maybe they just take it for granted. It seems like only people who live in non-Muslim countries where the adhan is not called would understand how beautiful this call actually is. When the takbir is called so loudly and people are called to pray, subhanAllah. We love hearing the sound of the adhan when we go to Muslim countries. It's one of the best things that people there sometimes take for granted. Just hearing the adhan is so beautiful. Who doesn't like hearing it? Only the people who don't value it or who joke about it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when you call for salah, they make fun of it. This ayah is proof that the adhan should be called out or that there is such a thing as the adhan. But if anyone rejects the hadith, they don't believe in the hadith, they're not going to know how to call out the adhan. The Quran only tells us about the adhan, but it doesn't tell us how it's done. And it's through the hadith that we learn the words of the adhan, how it's supposed to be done. Then certain people say that they only believe the hadith that's necessary, not more than that. But that's wrong. We need to believe in and learn the hadith to understand the explanation of the Quran. And the adhan is made up of beautiful words that we hear. And when we read the durood after it and make dua in response to that call, the dua that starts out with Allahumma rabba hadhihi da'wati tamma, when we make that dua, we become entitled to the intercession of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Day of Judgment. So aren't the people who are able to hear the adhan so lucky that they can send salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and make that dua after hearing it, and he will intercede for them on the day of judgment, subhanallah. And while the muadhin calls out the adhan, we should repeat what he says each time. Okay, for example, when he says Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, we should repeat. Okay, except for the parts where he says Hayya ala salah and Hayya ala falah. For those parts, we should say La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. After Hayya ala salah and Hayya ala falah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. In the end, after repeating after the muadhin, we read the darood and the dua. Allahumma rabba hadhihi ad-da'wati at-tamma. And on the day of judgment, people who call out the adhan will have long necks. And that's going to be because they're going to be honored in that way. People will look at them and be able to tell that they were the muadhin. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Allah, grant maghfirah to the muadhineen of this ummah, to the people of this ummah who call out the adhan, subhanallah. Forgive them. He made this dua. So it's a great thing to be able to call out the adhan. So it's really strange that people actually laugh at the adhan as well. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. This is because there are people who lack understanding. They don't have the intellect to understand. No matter how educated they might be when it comes to worldly knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified that they do not use their intellect if they mock the shayr, the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's a sign that they lack intellect, no matter how many worldly degrees they may have. Anyone who mocks the adhan or other signs of Allah is not using their intellect. When we hear the adhan, it reminds us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it reminds us to pray. And the same thing for anything else that reminds us of Allah. If they laugh at those signs of Allah, they do not have intellect or understanding. قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ. Tell them, O people of the book, هَلْ تَنْكِمُونَ مِنَّا إِلَّا أَنْ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ. What makes you against us? Other than the fact that we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't do anything to you, but you feel enmity for us just because we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are hostile to us because of our faith, because we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْنَا وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. And we believe in what has been revealed to us and what was revealed before. We believe in the Quran and the Torah and the Injil, in their original versions, of course, but we do believe in them. Okay, in the words that were sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, the messages that were sent to the prophets. We believe in all of them, the Torah and the Gospel. We believe in them. In their original form, before people changed the words. So they should appreciate that instead of feeling enmity for the Muslims. The fact is, وَأَنَّ أَكْثَرَكُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. And most of you are rebellious transgressors. You cross the limits and rebel. You throw the rules sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behind your backs and you openly disobey. You are careless about obeying him and dare to openly break his rules. Even after disobeying, they don't feel bad about it. The Ahl Kitab, they're not ashamed of it. They don't even care to follow the rules of their own books. They don't take their religion seriously either. They laugh at it. Their churches are left empty nowadays due to so many turning away from their religion. So they can't understand the value of our religion either. They want us to head towards destruction along with them. They want to lead others astray too. That's why they say not to talk about religion. They claim that religion divides people. Astaghfirullah. And that we're all the same. So we shouldn't talk about religion. قُلْ هَلْ أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِشَرٍ مِّنْ ذَلِكَ مَثُوبَةً عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Ask them, should I tell you of those who will have even worse than this in retribution from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allahu Akbar. First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to ask them why they're hostile towards the Muslims when there's no reason for them to be that way. Now he says to ask them what's wrong with them. Instead of being angry with us, they should listen to how their predecessors were, how they acted. They should listen up to what's coming up about what's even worse. They are those mala'anahullah, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cursed. And we learned a lot about the reasons for why they were cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah before. And one thing that led to this curse is mentioned here. A lot of Muslims say that we should accept them, but we'll learn a little later that they would never be sincere to you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cursed them. We know how their predecessors were cursed. وَغَضِبَ عَلَيْهِ, and he was angry with them, meaning the people who earned his wrath. وَجَعَلَ مِنْهُمُ الْقِرَدَةَ وَالْخَنَازِيرِ, and he transformed some of them into apes and pigs. We learned about how they were turned into apes already, right? We covered that whole story. But there were also another punishment. There was another punishment that was sent to some of them where they were turned into swines. They became pigs. وَعَبَدَ الطَّاغُوتِ, and worshipped طَاغُوتِ, the forces of shaitan. So a lot of them did that. People who worship the false deities are the worst, according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People who worship the false idols. Worshipping the ta'ghut means to worship any power that openly challenges the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any forces that tell people to obey them instead of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala themselves, and they hinder others as well. They tell others to just listen to them and do what they're doing. So anything that gets in the way of people obeying Allah, and anything that demands them to worship or listen to them instead of Allah, is ta'ghut. That ta'ghut can just be that person's own nafs, where it tells them to do what they feel like doing, just to follow their own desires, do things that they want to do. And a society, the society around us, can be ta'ghut also, where they are the forces of shaitan. They are rebellious forces. The ones mentioned here will be the worst in retribution from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They earned the wrath of Allah, so he actually cursed them. He tells them about their history here, and they feel enmity towards the believers. Isn't that strange? They have strayed the most from the right path. أُولَٰئِكَ شَرٌّ مَكَانًا وَأَضَلُّ عَنْ سَوَاءِ السَّبِيلِ. These are worse, far worse in rank, and far more astray from the right way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they are the ones who are the worst. And that's why they earned the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They incurred his wrath. He tells us about their history, about how they messed up, because he wants them to look into their own mistakes. instead of laughing at or mocking our deen now? How can they do that when their forefathers strayed so far from the right path that they incurred the wrath of Allah, the anger of Allah, and they ended up as the worst in ranks? وَإِذَا جَاءُوكُمْ قَالُوا آمَنَّا. And when they come to you, they say, we believe. We learned a similar ayah to this in Surah Ali Imran before, where we learned the same thing. They used to plot to go and spend some time in the gathering of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his Sahaba, where these people would plot to go in the morning and claim to have believed. They would say that, oh, I have believed. They would pretend to take the shahada. And then in the evening, they would turn away from Islam, according to their plan. And then they would say, oh, there's nothing special about this deen. There's nothing special about this religion. So we're not going to stay on it. We're turning away from it. Astaghfirullah. And they did this to lead other people away from Islam. The people who were new to Islam, or people who were weak in their iman, the people who were not that stable yet in their iman, they wanted to lead them all astray. So it was all a part of their plotting. They used to go to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and claim to be believers, even though they had not actually believed. وَقَدْ دَخَلُوا بِالْكُفْرِ وَهُمْ قَدْ خَرَجُوا بِهِ. But in fact, they entered with disbelief and they went out with it too. They came as disbelievers when they joined Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims, and they departed as disbelievers too. They did not have iman even for a second. They never believed at all, but they pretended to do so. They claimed that they were the believers just to mislead others, because people are influenced by what other people do. And if a couple of people start to do something, others start copying as well. They start doing the same thing. So if a couple of people start leaving a gathering, even when it's a blessed gathering, others start following them and they start leaving as well. They think it's the norm that they should do it too, because it's what everybody else is doing. This is because the average person just follows what others do. They don't use their own brain. Okay? They don't think about what's right and what isn't right. They just do what other people do. They just follow them. They copy them. That's how they are affected psychologically. They say the people with so much ilm said something, so there must be a reason for them saying it. Okay, so they think that it should make sense somehow. They try to find that reason. They try to look for that reason for why they said something against Islam, instead of thinking that this person lacks intellect, the ability to understand. Because that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that anyone who doesn't understand, that anyone who speaks about Islam badly does not have intellect. Okay, so that's what we should think. Not that, oh, well, there must be some reason for why this person said something against it. Astaghfirullah. Some people nowadays start questioning how such intelligent people from other religions, whether they're Hindus or Christians or Jews or atheists, how they can be wrong. How can they not understand when they're such great scientists, or, you know, they're professionals who are very well educated? They have so much worldly knowledge. How is it possible that they don't understand? But it's true. If they don't believe in Islam, they don't understand. Okay? If they don't use their intellect to think about the truth, they're not being wise. They don't have wisdom. And just because people like that don't see the truth, even though it's so clear, it doesn't mean they're right. That there has to be a reason. They are the ones who lack in intellect. They are wrong not to be able to understand it. And others start doubting their own beliefs as a result of what they see them do. And because of their thoughts about religion, they say, oh, well, they would have understood if this is what had to be done. But in the past, they used to pretend to believe in the morning and turn away from Islam in the evening. That's what the enemies of Islam did. Because they had plotted to lead astray the believers. That was how they plotted to turn people away from Islam. And they still do so many things like that to lead Muslims astray. A lot of people plot that way against Islam. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْتُمُونَ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows fully well what they hide in their hearts. They secretly plot against Islam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most knowing of what they conceal in their hearts. He knew that they wouldn't accept Islam anyway. That they're just there for other reasons. They just used to go to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and leave his company exactly the way they had come. In a state of disbelief. They used to show up and leave in the exact same condition. Their hearts or their thinking never changed. And think about how unfortunate they were. That they didn't even benefit from being in the company of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was sent to guide humanity. Their hearts were not affected by anything at all. They didn't accept Islam then or later. And this is how a lot of people are these days too. They go and attend lectures and they really enjoy listening to the knowledgeable scholars. But they aren't affected by them at all. The condition of their hearts, the state of their heart does not change. They leave that lecture exactly in the same state of iman as they had come with. They don't change for the better at all. They don't bother to reform themselves. Even if they listen to great scholars who give beautiful lectures, the state of their hearts is not changed at all. Their hearts do not soften. They're not motivated to reform themselves and say that the scholars always say things like that. Okay, that they always talk and they always tell stories like that. So there's nothing different about what they heard. So they end up saying something like that in the end. They tell others to just have fun and take it easy. Just enjoy life. Their behavior does not change at all. So they don't benefit from the company of the pious people. And this is how the disbelievers who plotted against Islam were at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They never believed in Islam themselves and him being the messenger. And they tried their best to lead others astray as well. That was their goal. So they never attended the lectures or went to join him and the Sahaba to spend time with them, to benefit from them or to learn about Islam. They were just there to pretend to be believers and then to pretend to turn away from it at the end of the day so others would be affected. They would be influenced in that way. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتوب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم آمين يا رب العالمين جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته